shiny and new episode of Bid Nerds happening right now. I have no idea what Michael Deeb is doing over there with that big green fist. A little weird. He's smashing his audio button is what he's doing. He killed his audio somehow. I guess he can hear me. This is kind of fun. I'm going to pause for just a second. All right, Michael Deeb has his audio working back. All right, so hey, welcome to the channel. If you're new to the channel, if you're one of the people that learned about us maybe at Luft 9, just at this last weekend, and you're going, what the heck is this thing? What do we do here, Michael Deeb? Tell them all about it.
We select the most interesting car that's going to close on that day on all of the different automotive platforms like Bring a Trailer, Cars and Bids, P-Car Market, Marked, Shiftgate, Haggerty, you name it, we'll cover it. We do all the hard work, all the heavy lifting for you. We pick the most interesting car, we review it and talk about it here on the show, and then we guess what we think that car is going to close for when that auction ends. And then we hold ourselves accountable because after the episode, we go back and we revisit the result and we decide who is the winner and who is the big loser based on what our bids were compared to what the car sold for. So there you go. That's us in a nutshell. Are we in a nutshell?
Well, we don't go back. We go forward. We go into the future.
We go forward. Yeah. See,
we go to the future. We are future time travelers. We reconcile just how wrong we are, and we are wrong all the time. So never, ever, ever take our advice. Unless... We suggest that you hit the subscribe, like, or notification button if you haven't already. That is something that you should absolutely, absolutely take my advice on. Do that now if you haven't done it already. The nerd herd is a growing herd. It's getting bigger and bigger all the time. And we love you guys. Ross and Anthony and all these guys, they're just... I hate naming it the names because I forget everybody all the time. I just want to get a list of the nerd herd and just start saying thanks to all these guys.
Absolutely.
But the herd's getting so big, I can't remember everyone.
That's right.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Thank you guys for subscribing and liking. We love you.
Let's do a Patreon and then let us know in the comments when you think we want to do a live show once a week when we get to 1,000 subscribers. So start letting us know what would be a convenient hour for you to listen to the Bid Nerds live. Would it be during the day? Would it be during the evening? What time? What day of the week? Let us know what you think, and we'll just do a small survey and pick a time to go live with the Bid Nerds.
So we're probably not going to do Patreon, but we already have something set up on Buy Me a Coffee. You can kind of look us up there. I don't really have it set up yet, but we do have a thing. You can contribute there if you want. I'm eventually going to have a way to get your stickers and your hats and stuff like that there.
Yep.
It's at buymeacoffee.com. We'll start promoting that here probably on the next recording. Definitely shout out to our sponsors, Godin Classic of Las Vegas, Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. They are the first classic Porsche dealer or Porsche classic dealer in North America, and they're great people down there. And if you want to avoid all this auction hassle and get yourself a classic Porsche without, you know, bidding and all that kind of stuff and just go straight to the source, go check out Godin Classic, see what they've got in their inventory. They always have cool stuff. All right, let's get to today's most interesting car. Michael Deeb, what do we got today?
JP, it's a Ferrari, a 1989 Ferrari 328 GTB on Bring a Trailer, offered out of Mount Dora, Florida. Have you ever heard of Mount Dora, Florida? I don't even know where that is.
I don't know much about Florida.
Neither do I. Car showing 45,000 miles.
Well, other than we have some great fans in Florida. Some of the nerd herd lives in Florida, and that's the best part of Florida.
That is the very best part of Florida. Our car is looking stunning in Prugna Metallizzato over Crema Connolly leather. The car was also serviced, which I think is really important when you talk about these cam belt cars. When was the car serviced? The car was serviced in 2022. GTBs are pretty rare, JP. They only made 1,344 328 GTBs over however many years they made the 328 GTB for the world. This particular car is rarer still, as it's only one of 33 1989 328 GTBs imported into the United States. So by the numbers, it's a very cool car. It makes about 260 horsepower, transverse V8. They don't handle really well, but they're, you know, after Magnum PI and Tom Selleck drove a 308 GTB, that really put the Ferrari and the mid-engine cars on the map. But this car looked pretty cool, and with the mileage and the belt service, seems like it's a pretty decent value. Coupes are really starting to go through the roof, and anything with a you know, a gated shifter in Ferrari and a hardtop is starting to bring silly money. So we covered one of these, I think, earlier in the year, and it didn't sell. And that left me wanting because I really want to see what GTBs are bringing. This car was only about $79,000 when it was brand new. But if you think about 1989, $79,000 was a load of money back then. You know, in 1989, JP, I could have bought a condo in San Francisco for $400,000. Imagine spending a quarter of that on a new Ferrari. That's bonkers. I think this car has a chance to break the bank. They have been, although, like I said, we tried to cover one and it failed to sell, so we really didn't see its true value. So I thought we'd try again with this one. So JP, I hand it over to you. I know you're not a cabriophobe. You would probably rather have a Targa, but any love for this GTB in the burgundy color? And have you driven a gated shifter Ferrari that is from this era? Your 360s, even your 355s and your 348s, they were a lot less notchy than these. These early cars, you really had to warm the motor and warm the gearbox before it was even possible to shift this car into a different gear. So have you driven one from this era, and what'd you think of it?
I got to drive a 328 Targa, and yeah, notchy as hell. That thing was a bear to find a gear, but I just didn't care because it was so rad. Help me out. Is this wing on the top? Is that thing leather?
No, I don't think it's leather. It's probably rubber, but if it was leather, I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't believe it is.
Look at that.
Rubber.
It looks like leather. I mean, how the heck would that hold up? That would be so Italian. Of course it's not leather. I don't know. This car is stunning to look at. Absolutely beautiful. Not my favorite color combination at all. No. You know, I certainly wouldn't pick one in this color, but this is the type of car where that you don't really pick colors because there's not that many of them to choose from in general. This car is just not on my list. Getting a Ferrari of this era, it is going to be a Targa. I definitely want to be seen in the car. You're buying it to be seen because, like you say, they're not the greatest driving thing. So what the heck else are you buying it for other than say, hey, look, I'm in a Ferrari. I really hate the pictures of the paint meter. I know it's a good thing to have in there, but it makes it so like you guys want to see pictures of a stupid paint meter. I'm trying to get interior pictures here. This car, I'm sure it's a lot of fun, but it's just I'm not excited about it. It doesn't get me going. Right. It's interesting, funny, I guess, that. You know, I'm sure it's a good time. But if you're struggling with that transmission, or if it's really hot out and the thing's overheating, which it's probably gonna all the time.
Go back a couple of photos to that dashboard if you can. So what's interesting, you know, they went from the 308, which are black gauges with white lettering, and they got into the 328. And that's the same era they came out with the Testarossa. Mm. And they went to these orange gauges for like the late 80s and early 90s. So it's funny when you zoomed in on those photos, or when you went to the photo where it was zoomed in on the dash cluster, it totally reminds me of the Testarossa, and it's Ferrari from a certain era. You know what I mean? Like, you start thinking about sticky buttons and like, you know, weird things. The driving position on these cars is terrible. The pedals aren't straight in front of you. They're off to the right. Yeah. Your clutch, your left heel is on the right side of the horn button on that steering wheel. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're way over to the side. It's just so funny all the compromises Ferrari would put up with to build a car because they needed it to look a certain way.
I gotta say, I would rather have a same era Mondial convertible than this car, just because it'd be more fun. If you're gonna deal with all the crappy Ferrari, old Ferrari stuff that you got to deal with, the ownership problems, you may as well have the top down and be able to enjoy the weather. Could you imagine trying to do a freaking tune up on that? I know the engine has to come out, but that's why, kids, because you ain't getting look anything in and out of that. The maintenance on these is just such hell. But yeah, I would rather you got to get a drop top on something like this, because it's just that you're gonna gonna sound great. I mean, we poo poo the handling. It's gonna handle awesome to a certain extent. It's gonna be just fun to drive, the visceral experience that everyone talks about. You know, all the touch points are gonna tell you something, because you know that engine is gonna just be rattling and shaking everything that you're connected to in that car. And so there's something to that. But if you're gonna go through the problems, you may as well be able to have that top down and be able to get after it. All right.
Agreed.
What is something like this worth? Is the fact that it's a kind of a rare color combo? It's a less common configuration in the hard top versus a Targa or convertible. Are those things going to bring more or less money? What's going to happen here, Michael Deep?
That's a good question, John. The color is a really good question, because you would start to think that. But today, what we're seeing the premium paid for is a coupe with a gated shifter, and that's what this is. So I think more than the color, based on my perception, whatever that, however you quantify that, is what's driving this number. So JP, with 3 days left until it closes, our car is sitting at $100,328. So 100,328 as it stands. And that is on, as I search back to my notes, 8 bids. So JP, if the mileage wasn't so high and if there wasn't so much patina, so much pitting on the front end of this car, tell me this car doesn't remind you of my Ruby, you know,
the color
and the pitting on the front end. I would say that this car could see $145,000, but I think because of the miles and because the paint is really patinaed for a Ferrari, I think we're going to temper expectations a little bit, and I'll give it to you at $130,000. I think 130 grand is enough to meet the reserve and bring this car home. JP, $130,000 to you.
I'm not excited about this car for all the same reasons, the condition, the overall condition, the presentation. The photos aren't that great. They're not romantic. The color just does nothing for me on this car. I don't know. I mean, I also don't know this era of car that well. I'm just not an expert on these. And for that reason, I'm going to go under just to be bearish and say, what'd you say? 130 something? What was it?
Yeah, 130.
130.
Even.
I'll park it under you and go, I won't just park it right under you. I'll go 120. I'll give you a $10,000 spread, because I just don't think this car is going to get anyone excited, especially with those dings and scratches and just the way Ferrari. It seems like there's two different types of Ferrari people these days. And help me out on this, right? There's the traditionalists who have to have everything perfect. They have to know exactly when the service has been done.
Right.
There's that old school Ferrari kind of approach towards Ferraris that we all think of, right? And those guys want every T crossed and every I dotted.
Yep.
And then there's the kind of crypto bros that people, you know, they get excited when they see one, and they just always wanted one, so they'll pay whatever. I think for a crypto bro to get excited about it, it's got to be red, or it's got to be flashy, or the photo's got to look amazing. It's got to be romantic. This car doesn't look like it would get the crypto bros' attention to make sure, you know, like a 348. That's done right, and if in a bright color that just looks, or a 355, they'll pay all the money in the world for, like, oh, a 6-speed, all the things. Heck
yellow,
yeah, let's go.
Yeah,
in yellow, let's do it. But this kind of like you know, subtle, if there's any such a thing, Ferrari, it just doesn't. I just think people are gonna pass right over this one, and it's just not gonna get a second look. And if it does get lucky enough to get looked at for a second time, they're gonna see the dings and scratches and stuff, and they're gonna be like, whatever, move on. You and I, a lot of times when we talk about cars and how they're presented, correct me if I'm wrong, you're of the school that says, all right, if it's got some dings and scratches, spend the money on paint correction and getting all the scratches and the dings like taken out. That can be thousands of dollars. I've always been kind of like, I just don't think the thousands of dollars make sense to upgrade, to bother with, just, you know, sell it at kind of a less premium. I don't think you're going to get that delta back. But this is a car that I lean towards the way you look at things more often. I think it would have made sense to spend some money on updating this car and getting it cleaned up, I think it would have brought more. It will. I think it would bring more money rather than.
Interesting.
We're talking about this before the auction is
ended. Yeah, it's clean up scratches is really hard, but sometimes patina does drive a car or drive a number, and they
but
like
this doesn't
that,
look like patina. Like your Ruby car had patina. Yeah. This car is just dinged up. There's a difference, right?
Well, and what I was going to use as a reference is be like an old 356 where like the paint's falling off. That car, somebody would pay a premium for that because it's so cool. You can't replicate that. Nobody has a half century to do the same thing. My big thing, the thing I like to pound the table for is originality. If you've got two sets of wheels, put the original ones back on. JP, I wouldn't argue your point. Cleaning this car up certainly would have helped. Hiring a professional photographer would have made a massive difference on this car. I think the presentation is garbage, and that's
we are talking about past tense. We don't know what happens yet. We're not in the future yet. What will happen? You think that a photographer would bring more money, but we are going to find out what the actual results. Maybe this car brings gobs of money. We don't know yet. Now's the time to put your bid in, and we will find out the results of this car right after this. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you gotta call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for. Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. We talk about Luftkult a lot. We had Patrick Long on the show a couple episodes ago. I like to find, beef everywhere we can. It's just kind of like an old Wendy's commercial. There's some ish going on right now because every time Luftkult comes up, it's kind of like the film festivals. What is it? Sundance, and then you got Slam Dance and all the other ones. Yep. Luftkult's kind of cultivated all these other events that happen around it. And then you get all these different bodies that are like, there's all this political posturing, everyone trying to like, oh, you come to our event, or no, you come to our event. And, so this year it's no different being in San Francisco. 2-1. All right, we're here in the future. That happened. You've been waiting around for 60 seconds, a minute or something like that, watching a couple of commercials from our good friends at Godin Classic, Godin Porsche of Las Vegas, and of course learning about the Dirt or Die Porsche podcast that Dwayne Wick and I do every week. But you're sticking around, you're going, hey, what's up with this Ferrari, man? You guys are talking about a Ferrari, you're making predictions. What happened, Michael Deep? What's going on?
Our car didn't do as good as I thought it was going to do, but it did sell. So JP, our 1989 Ferrari 328 GTB. I drank the Kool-Aid. I like the color. I'm weird like that. You know how I get. And I said $130,000. You took the under at $120,000. And we were both wrong. Our car sold for just $100,328 on just 8 bids. So the reserve was low. And I wonder if the consignor is happy with that number. I would think that he was thinking he was going to make a few more dollars than that. So interesting, just interesting. One person wrote in the comments on this that they said, how come these cars aren't worth more than a 355 with a manual transmission? And I just scratched my head because sometimes people say some things that don't make any sense. Look, I get that this is a pretty car and it's sort of the prettier version of the Magnum PI car. But the 355 is in a totally different category, my friend. The answer to your question, Mr. Bitter, or Mr. Commenter, is a flat plane crank. And the flat plane crank endowed the 355 to rev to like 8,000 RPM and make gobs more horsepower and really revvy engine. This car is not that driving experience. While it looks really good, it doesn't actually have the goods to be a great driver. So I think maybe that has something to do with it. These are not the best driving Ferraris. They're fun. You get the romanticism, but this is not a car that would keep up with a 1989 Porsche 3.2 on any road anywhere in the world. You know what I'm saying? So there you go. $100,000. That's all it took. The patina did not didn't buff out, John. This car didn't make the kind of money I think you and I thought it could. The color is polarizing. The patina, the miles, 328s aren't the best cars. I know it's rare. I know the color makes it rare still, but nobody was willing to pay for it, at least not this week. So there it is, $100,328. Any comments to that, or is that just kind of put you to sleep?
Yeah, if this car were in really nice, condition, I think, you know, it certainly would have brought, you know, numbers closer to what we were talking about. But you're absolutely right. It's not a fantastic car, and most of the people that would consider one of these are going to know a thing or two about them. In answer to your question, what do you think the reserve was? I think the reserve was probably closer to what we were bidding. But I suspect that at the time of the auction, I suspect that the owner was probably sitting there going, this ain't happening. So he probably actively lowered the reserve just to get the car sold. If you're sitting there going, all right, this thing ain't going anywhere, and it's stalling out at, you know, $70,000+, gets into the $80,000 range, and you're like, man, how many bids? 7 or 8? There's no activity here. I don't want to be stuck with this thing. At that point, do you sign into your, you know, your BAT account as the seller and just say, all right, fine, lowering the bid, or not lowering the bid, lowering the reserve. I just want this gone. I want it to be done. And hope that it takes off a little bit more from there. You've had that experience. You were there where you had some higher hopes, but,
twice.
Yeah. There's, you get, you know, that come to Jesus moment where you have to decide whether or not you want the car to be in your life, or if you want to just end that relationship and move on, have the divorce, and get a hot new younger wife.
God dang, that's a good analogy. And you and Rochelle helped me through that process twice on both the Mercedes, and it worked out. And the Porsche, where it didn't necessarily work out with the number I had hoped I'd get for the car, but I ended the relationship with the car, which is what I was intending to do, was to move on from that car, because I also knew that the chiffon car was en route. So
you were already banging a stripper on the side, so you knew you had to just like eat it, right? You'd already bought the car that you wanted. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's it. I mean, if I had to guess, I'd say that's what happened. I'm sure the owner had much higher hopes because it's a pretty car, I'm guessing that the owner was pragmatic and not an idiot, because look at the pictures, man. This car isn't that nice. It's beat up. It's worn. It's got the patina, is romantic, but it doesn't bring extra money on something like this. It does on maybe an old 356, but not on a Ferrari. People want immaculate Ferraris. They don't want, you know, scarred up looking badges of honor on their prancy horse. You know, that's just what it is. It's a different animal, a different person that wants one of these cars, right?
Yep.
Am
so
I wrong
true.
On that one? All right. No. What do you guys think of the result of this Magnum PI wannabe car? I don't know. And the top doesn't come off. Come on, man. You want to be seen in something like this. That's another thing I don't like about it. I don't know. Let us know in the comments below, and we'll see you tomorrow with tomorrow's most interesting car, right? Anything else you want to say, Deeb? Too bad.
Nope. Thank you.
Get those nerds!